and commitment. The previous month we were considering how we can walk with Christ, how to walk with Christ in His way. That is, walking with Christ in His way. And this is a new month, and we'll be starting a series on discipleship. We'll be starting a series on discipleship, and I want us to be very, very, I want us to be very punctual so that we can know the totality of discipleship. And I also want you to have your writing materials. I don't know how far the Lord will be helping us today, but I just hope to start off with it, and we build up it later on. The discipleship is a command of the scripture, and it is what each and every one of us must pass through. We must not assume as if we have been discipled. When we begin, then we will know how much we have never been discipled. It is possible for us to have been Christians for several years, and we are never discipled. Now, many people think because they have been, they have been born again, and they have rose through the ranks in the church, and they have become, they have become somebody in the church, maybe a worker in the church. They think that they have been discipled. Some other people also think that because they have done some believers class when they give their life to Christ, or when they changed church from one denomination to another denomination, and they have been asked to pass through some course outline, religious course outline, and they have done it, and they even wrote exam and they passed the exam, and so they have been baptized or taken to the river, or they have been given a certificate, or they have changed their name. They were bearing, one local name before. Now they are bearing a biblical name. And some people begins to bear Philip, Matthew, John, Mark, Paul, Simon, Simeon, and all those things. And we think that we have passed through discipleship, but that is not discipleship. Some other people, however, think that they have, outside their church, they have been involved in a discipleship program, or they have been involved in a Bible school. They have gone to a Bible school, they have gone to a Bible college, and they have passed through some formal training about learning the Bible, knowing what it is about the Bible and stuff. They think they have passed through discipleship. That is not discipleship. Some other people, however, think that they have been. It's actually possible for a pastor not to have been discipled. It is possible for a pastor who is the general overseer of a church and who has network of other branches under him. It is possible for him not to have been discipled. You see, discipleship is not anything that has to do with learning the Bible. Discipleship is not learning the Bible, or learning about the Bible, or learning about God, or learning about Jesus. That is not discipleship, as we will begin to see. And I wanted to take it to be very, very important, because it will help your faith walk. And what I used to tell people is that if you were never discipled, you are not a disciple. You have to be discipled. Discipleship has a process. It's not an assumption. If you never went to school to study a particular course, you cannot claim to be an authority in that course. If you never studied medicine, you cannot claim to be a medical doctor. If you never studied law, you cannot say you are a lawyer. Although you might have worked with a lawyer for a long time, you might have you may know all the legal terminology. You know, there was a man some time ago that was arrested for impersonation. He had a chamber, and he had gone to court many times, and he had represented people And he was not a lawyer. He never went to school. He never even went to the university to study law. He never went to the law school. He never did anything. But he would go to the law court. He would face lawyers with his wig and gown. He had a chamber. He had all the law books. He had everything. He would face lawyers and defeat them. He had won many cases. He had been in active practice for 16 years before he was known. And they were asking the question, but this guy is good. But this guy is good. He defeated many lawyers, many known lawyers. And when I was reading it, he actually faced with a senior advocate of Nigeria and floored him. He defeated him. And I think I have said here sometimes ago that I have someone not so close to me, used to be. The guy was not a medical doctor. But if he sits down with a medical doctor and they were talking, the medical doctor will say is a good guy. But he's never a medical doctor. He teaches medical students. And there have been people who have been good in their chosen field of endeavor without having a formal training. And there have been people who have been close to the church. They have been close to the pastor. They speak the language of the altar. You know, they know the scriptures. They quote the scriptures. They have churches. They have pastors. They have, you know, structures. They have everything. But they were never born again. You have bishops who were never born again. So, for us to say that someone is a disciple means that he is a disciple, and disciple has a process of his own. There are so many people who are converts. There are so many people who are converts. Let's look at the law of our land, for instance. Look at this vote. Okay, during the week I met with an Indian guy. I met with an Indian guy during the week, and I was amazed that this Indian guy spoke Yoruba language with so much ease, with proverbs and everything, with so much ease. And I was looking at him. Have you ever seen a non-indigene speaking a language that you know that ordinarily it's not possible? If an Igbo man speaks Yoruba language, then no big deal about it. Amen. People who come from, we have some people here, like Brother Dennis may not be able to speak Yoruba very well, but he understands at least, except when we get to some level and he says, I'm sorry. Brother Philip also understands Yoruba to some extent. I don't know how many other people that are not from this place. But what I'm saying is that you can, when you see Brother Philip speaking Yoruba, it's only here because of our land that people like that are still called foreigners. They are supposed to be integrated. This Indian guy, he spoke Yoruba language with flow, with ease. Just the way you and I, you will speak Yoruba language. He was speaking it with ease. No, I mean, you are just looking at him. If it's black, you won't mind. But you see an Indian. And I was looking at him and I asked him that, are you going to vote? Are you going to vote this coming election? Do you think the man can vote? Do you think he can vote? Maybe he has nationalized. Now, if you go to the polling booth and you see an Indian guy trying to vote and thumbprint and he says he's a Nigerian, won't you raise an eyebrow? And the guy told me that he was not only born in Ibadan. His father was born in Ibadan. His grandfather came to Ibadan when he was young. They have a house, Aguli, in Ibadan. All his school, went to primary school, everything. But here we still look at them as foreigners, but they are not. Look at our people that travel abroad, they go to the U.S. You know that most Nigerians are... I used to have an uncle who was a counselor in a state in the U.S. several years ago. And guess what? You will have said, well, no big deal. We have black Americans there. But guess what? This man had tribal marks. I've forgotten the type of mark they had on his cheek, but he had tribal mark. Yet he was a counselor in American politics. If the advanced nations of the world will take to our own style of politics and national immigration and stuff like that, all of our people who have gone over there, they will not say they are citizens. I saw my brother. I looked at the passport of my brother, and I saw in that passport it's written that so Canadian citizen. And I said, wow. For you to carry such a passport. And when my friend comes and I see the passport, I say American passport. A black man is carrying an American passport, and there's no problem with that. But when you see a white American or an Indian or a Kora or Lebanese carrying a Nigerian passport, you look at him. So the same thing with discipleship. You see, discipleship, some people, they become disciples by proxy. They become disciples by proxy, that is, because they have been long enough. They have been close to the pastor. They go out together. You know, they do. They can. Do you know that a non-believer can actually preach a sound message that will convert souls, and yet he himself is never converted. He is himself, because conversion of soul does not have to do with our preaching. It has to do with God's working. It's not about what we say. It's about what God wants to do. So regardless of what you say. And that's why it's possible for you to see that a pastor that is active in adultery can actually hold the microphone in a crusade and lift up his hands and call the name of God, and miracles happen, and the blind begins to see, the lame begins to walk, and so many mighty miracles are done. That is not an endorsement of the fact that the man is a man of God. It's just an endorsement of the fact that wherever the name of God is called, God will always glorify his name. It does not matter who is calling God's name. Amen. So, discipleship, we have to become disciples. If we are never following Jesus, we are not disciples. So we want to know. I'm just going to give us a synopsis this morning. Then later on we begin to build on it, little here and little there, just as the Bible says that the word of God is built into us. Amen. So please, if you have questions, and I expect you have questions, I want you to have your writing material, because we're going to write a lot of things. It will take us a month, or if the Lord so wishes, it can take us beyond. And if the Lord so wishes, we can do it in 2 weeks. And when we feel the release of the Holy Spirit, that God is already doing something in our hearts, then we will open up ourselves to Him so that He can lead us into what He actually wants us to, be. Praise God. I had, and funny enough, this morning, I have something different. I have prepared something different, just as usual. I actually wanted to talk about revival. And I had already done everything I had to do. And I was trying to fumble with the projector. Maybe the projector will work so that we can do it. But as I completed the thing and done like that, the Lord just asked me to go to discipleship. I never prepared for it. That's why I just sat down here trying to put down some things. Otherwise, I have a whole lot of things that I will have, materials that will have been useful to us on discipleship. We're going to do that. And if we need handout. If you need a handout, we can give you so that you go over it. But now I want us to look at the synopsis or the similarities or the differences between salvation and discipleship. Many people mistake these two together. Well, let's look at it pari passu. Let's say salvation, conversion, discipleship. I know that some people, they have this Arminianism theory of conversion, meaning that if you are saved, you are saved. If you backslided, you were never saved in the first instance. How many people believe that? If you are saved, you are saved forever. You cannot go back. If you go back, it means you were never saved in the first instance. They call that eternal security. That is, once you are saved, you are saved forever. Some other people, however, believe that if you are saved, you may backslide and become unsaved. How many people believe that? If you have been saved before, you can actually go back, become unsaved, and even die in that state of being unsaved and go to hell. So we have two things there. We have those who believe that once you're saved, you're saved forever. If you backslided at any time, it means you were never saved initially. It was a pseudo salvation. It's not a real salvation. They believe that if you were saved, you were really, really saved. So just like if you were born onto the earth, you were born. If you die again, then you're dead forever, or things like that. So we're going to be considering all these things and some other things. If you ask me, the deepest subject in the Bible is the subject of discipleship. Because we think we know what we don't know. And tell you what, many pastors will never believe that they were never discipled, because they don't know what discipleship means. So if you don't know what discipleship means, if they ask you, were you discipled, you will say yes. Because you think that disciple is growing in the church. No, discipleship is not growing in the church. Praise God. So let me ask us, because this is like an opening. This is like we're just starting off. I just want to whip us and try to let us, I want to ask us two questions. Number one, what is conversion? And number two, what is salvation? Anybody? Which one do you want to answer? What is conversion? What is salvation? They look the same, don't they? Or is there any difference between the two? Is there no? Don't just look at me. Some of us have passed through the school of ministry, And let me tell you that it's possible for us to pass through the school of ministry and pass, just like I said, you can pass through the school of ministry, you can pass through you can pass through Bible school, you can even pass through a seminary school, you can pass through a theological school. It does not mean that you have become disciple. And many of these places, they teach information about Christ, not formation in Christ. Discipleship is basically formation. You become Christ. It's not you know about him. It's not knowing so much about Jesus to the extent. Most of the preachers, they know so much about Jesus. They know enough about Jesus to convert people. They know enough about Jesus to convert people. But it's not about knowing so much about Jesus. It's not about preaching Jesus. It's about being Jesus. It's about being Jesus, being him. Even when you don't preach, you are him. People come to ask you, are you Jesus? Are you a child of God? You don't need to tell people that you're a child of God. You know that several years ago, if you call yourself a born-again believer, or if you say you're born, if you say you are an SU, as it was commonly referred to in those days, you had, people regard you with a particular, they give you a particular regard. They can give you a job without blinking their eyes. They can trust you. If you say you're an SU, in fact, the petrol owners can make you the manager and close their eyes and believe. They know that even if they have excess money, you will return it. They know it. They are not bothered. If they give you money, somebody told me something last week. He said somebody came to him, wanted to pay for a land, and he was overpaid with 20,000 naira. And when he was discussing with this person that, okay, give me my own share, I'm taking 10%, I'm taking 5%, or whatever percentage, the woman was not ready to give him his own percentage. He said, no. But when she wanted to pay, she overpaid with 20,000 naira. And the man said, oh, maybe God wants to just compensate me. I haven't labored, and this woman would not even recognize what I have done. Maybe God is compensating me. And he just parried the money. And the Spirit of the Lord began to minister to him. Said, no, she did not give you. She made a mistake. And the Spirit of the Lord compelled him, called this woman. Mommy, how much did you pay? He said, no, what are you, what stupid question are you asking me? stupid question. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You have collected your money. What's your problem? You're asking me that. Then he stopped. I said, thank God I've done my part. And the Holy Spirit will not let him rest. Call her again. So, and he called the woman. The woman was not picking his call again. Who is walking? God or Satan? The woman was not picking his call again. And when the woman picked his call, he said, look, I've told you not to call my line again. I'm going to call the police. What is your problem? Is it just because I bought land and what's with the... Madam, please calm down. No, calm down. Boom, he banged the phone. And the Holy Spirit said, you are not yet done. Look for that woman. He called the woman. The woman would not pick the call. He has to go and look for a house. He got to the house of that woman. The woman did not allow him in. Say, I know your type. I'm robbers. I will call the police. The woman did not even allow him to talk. What will he do? A Christian. Amen. This man because the woman was paying, he realized that he could get the account of this woman. So he got the account of this woman, the account number in the bank, paid the excess money into the bank account of that woman, and the woman got the SMS alert. Tom. So I paid 20,000 naira into your account. Is this not this man? What could be the problem? What's going on? Okay, she picked up the phone and she called this man. Oh, Mr. This, what happened? Are you not so? Say, yes, man, you know before now. Why are you asking again? Because of money. You know, there's some time when it comes to the issue of money, you need to ask some questions again. As if you never knew. What are you asking again? Say, I just got an alert that, madam, that is what I've been trying to tell you. You overpaid with 20,000 naira. And the woman was silent. Mommy, are you there? Mommy, nothing again. Okay. At least. Have you ever felt relieved in your life when you have done what the Holy Spirit asked you to do? A peace will flood your heart. I mean, you feel... Some of us, especially when we manage to pay our tithe, we just say, you know what happens to me? Each time we finish crying out, that's how I feel. Each time the Cry Out magazine comes out, oh God, praise God, Brother Dennis. Lest I forget, please pass it to him. So, and the man just what? All of a sudden, the man had a knock at his door, in the office door, and it was this woman. And now she was sober. Oh, mommy. You don't need to tell people you are a Christian. You don't need to. You don't need to show it sometimes. Let them discover it. It is then that they will tell you that surely, you are a child of God. Even if we say, surely you are a child of God. And the woman sat down, mommy, you could have called me and I would have come. And the woman was just looking at him. You know what he said? I don't know that people like you still exist. What a testimony. What a testimony. You know what the woman further said? He said, even if it were to be me, in that circumstance, that I cheated you, and I knew it. You know, it's similar to the case of David when he was with Saul. Somebody just told him, Master, our enemy, the arch enemy, the king, this is where he is, and he got there. Do you know sometimes when God opens the door of trials to us,
Who made Saul to sleep such a sleep? A warrior. A king. A warrior. Basically, you must understand the fact that Saul was a warrior, and one of the characteristics he had that endeared him to the heart of God before he was made to be king was because he was a warrior. The Bible says he was taller than every person in the old nation. From his shoulder upward, he was taller than everybody. Broad shoulder, strong, bold. Before God can look and scan at a whole nation and pick out somebody and say, this guy is the best. There is something to it. This guy has fought many wars, won many battles, just for the fact that he missed out with God. And God was working out something. It was God that made him to sleep, and it's the same God that made David to come to him to see what David will do. You know, there are sometimes God just... Do you know the reason why God let the children of Israel from Egypt? Why he let them through the wilderness? Just to try their heart. I want to see what you will do. In this situation, I want to see what that woman will do in her home. When they're passing through such a challenge in that home, I want to see how the woman will relate to her husband. I want to see what that man will turn his wife to. A punching bag. I want to see whether this man will still hold the same respect he used to have with his wife when he had money. That time, darling, honey, sweet names. But now, because of challenges, and do you know what God is doing? He's folding his arm and he's watching. When Job, when he was passing through that bitter encounter with Satan, and you know God was watching, and that's why he say there is no trials that we are passing through or passing through us that God is not aware of. I like the way Yoruba used to say it. They would say that enito se ogun afere fun ayan o na lo se ogun arinan ko fe die. Amen. Won se ogun afere fun ayan won le se ogun arinan ko fe die. Praise God. So it is God that ultimately works things out. So this woman looked at the man and said, you are a child of God. You are next you. You are born again. You are spirit filled. You are a pastor. In fact, the reason why you still need to explain to people that you are a believer, that you are born again, is because there is no substance of character. It's because when you speak, there is nothing backing it up to tell the people who you are. You know, we do not demand for respect, we earn it. When a husband begins to tell the wife, I am the husband in this house and you must give me my respect, that husband, there's a question mark on his integrity. You don't need to tell her that you are the husband. Doesn't she know? You don't need to demand for respect. You earn respect by the things you do. You earn it. People, they accord it to you. Do you know that even in Christendom, we do not just appoint pastors by virtue of what they do in the church. By virtue of what they do in the church. If we ask the old church that, okay, we want to do our ordination service, and we mention the name of a brother here, and we say, the old church, this brother standing beside me, in what office of the church in the fivefold ministry can we ordain him into? Now, if the character of that man, if he's living God's character in him, it will not be difficult for each and every person in the church to say, oh, that brother, he's an evangelist. And if the pastor say, okay, we want to the church, we have prayed through, and we want to ordain this brother as a pastor in the church, the old church will say, they'll be asking themselves, pastor? Did that brother? Pastor? No. No. Praise God. It's because of the testimony. Do you know that even in this small gathering, each and every person here, you have a testimony.
You have a testimony.
Some of us, we have the testimony of lateness.
Amen. Just come to this place one day, maybe a quarter to nine, or maybe 8:30. We come to this place and you see you seated. Say, ah! And somebody says, ah, that's brother. Oh, which brother? That brother will not come until 10, until to 11 or past 11. This is 8:30. Cannot be him. That's a testimony.
Okay, we fix a meeting for a particular time of the day, particular time, and we say, everybody will come and say, okay, brother, so, when you come, see me, that is it. Even the regular meeting we hold, does he even come? It's a testimony. You know one of the testimony of Abraham? God said about Abraham. What did he say about Abraham? He said what? He said, I know Abraham. He will command his children. I know him. Amen. So basically, as a disciple, you must have a testimony. And again, let me quickly finish with this brother. I'm telling us to know that in those days, if you say you are an SU, you are an SU. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? If you say you are an SU, and you don't need to tell anybody you are an SU, they begin to ask, is he an SU? And he's an SU. Oh, I know. People, entrepreneurs, they are looking for SU to appoint as managers of their business. That business will not go wrong. Try it today. Appoint pastors to your business. I know what I'm saying. So that word, you can see that word SU, gradually, even Christians, we are religious Christians, not committed Christians. The devil used many religious Christians to allow that word to fizzle out. Say, look at me, I'm not an SU. So a union, who is a, I'm not an SU. So we outcast them to be a particular people, not holy unto the Lord, but people who don't know what they are doing. And gradually, that word SU fade. Do you know that SU is still alive? Do you know SU is scripture union? Where is their office in Ibadan? Their office at Samanda, where you used to do cry out. In fact, they have that place where you used to do cry out. It's called SU building. SU is a movement, just like we have the ministry. SU is a ministry, and it still exists up till now. But where is our testimony? Amen. Whatsoever thing that is not yours, and the devil is trying to convince you that you can have it, you better have a rethink. God is only testing you with something very small for something bigger. If you fail, you have aborted your destiny. This brother told me, and I said, that woman said, he thanked him and thanked him and thanked him and thanked him and thanked him. Okay, and that was all. Later on, the woman called. Everybody wants to associate with faithful people. Nobody wants to associate with rogues. This woman had sons and daughters. She had, brothers, people who have been dealing with. But since the time he met with that man, the woman used to travel abroad and things, stuff like that. The woman diverted everything that she's doing in business. Diverted it to this man. And this man would beg him, Mommy, I don't have time. Say, no, you have time. Even if you don't have time, even if that thing perish and dies, I prefer it. Now, why was this man telling me? This is just about three weeks ago. Why was this man telling me? I was sitting down, we were talking, and this woman called. And he was now asking me, say, okay, Pastor, let me even ask you. Do you, cars? The woman used to ship cars, bring cars in. So the people he puts in charge of the car, they are not faithful. And they are Christians and pastors. They are pastors, they are Christians. And here is a brother who is not a pastor. Who did not even tell him, I'm a Christian. Who did not even share Christ or open the Bible. And the woman, and she talked with the woman. I was sitting down in front of him. She talked with this woman. And they were, Mommy, okay, I will find out. And when he dropped the phone, he said, Pastor, do you know people who can sell? This woman had cars. And he said, she wanted to take the cars and come out. And I said, I don't know how to sell cars. And the woman said, no. You just put it there. Just put for sale. If anybody buys it, fine. If nobody buys it, fine.
And I've learned something. You know, some people, they call jack of all trade, master of none. I've learned that it is not everything that you say yes to. Ordinarily, I would say, I know now. In fact, I can even call my dealer. My God has taught me. I say, I know, but I don't want to involve. That's business. Come on. Cool business. I said, except you. You can make findings. I told you, you can make findings. I said, oh, this woman. I said, I don't know how to sell cars. And before we left, the woman called again. She said, look, my house at so. They said they need plumber. And they need this thing. I want to send money to you. I want to send money. Go and cash the money at Western Union and give it to them. Mommy, your brother said, no. It is you. Go and cash the money at Western Union. I will call now to tell you the code, the number, the everything. And what the man did not tell me was that Alunumainule. What I mean by Alunumainule is that at a time, there would be moral burden on the woman to say, let me give this man something. And if the man wants to act wisely, if the woman wants to give him something, say, mommy, don't worry. Okay, now, what I'm trying to drive out is that a disciple is known. When Peter followed Jesus into that into the hall with the high priest, you know what the maid said. Has anybody told you resemble Jesus? Not with your physical look, but with your action, with your character, with your demeanor, with the way you behave, with the way you look, with the way you act, with the way you dress. Can there be any correlation with you and Jesus? Can there be? With the way you respond, especially when you're angry, with the way you act when you are in a public place, with the way you open the tap of your mouth and allow water to just run in words, can they really? When people see you outside, and guess what? I am not trying to say that you are known by the way you dress, because you wear turban, because you wear hat, because you wear beret. Because you don't wear beret, because you wear suit, because you don't wear suit, because you wear shoe, because you wear sutana, because you don't wear sutana, all those things are deceptive. Let me quickly tell you what I said during our Bible school, what I told the students there. You see, laws, denominational laws especially, they are good. Are you listening to me? Denominational laws are good, but their goodness, it's only relevant when they are needed. Don't do this. Don't wear this. Don't do this. Don't taste not. Eat not. Bear not. Do not. All those things are good. Was it 2 Wednesdays ago that were, you know, 2 Wednesdays ago, the rain, I think 2 Wednesdays ago, rain packed us into this corner. All of us, we were packed into this corner 2 Wednesdays ago. Last week, Wednesday, we were packed into this corner. Because of rain. The rain of last week Wednesday was even more than that of last week, previous week. Thank God for the chairs. We were hiding. There was no place in this hall that rain did not get to. No single place that rain did not get to. Everywhere we were hiding. We were only praying that the wind did not carry us away. It was as strong we thought it was going to carry us away. Thank God some featherweight people did not come. The rain would have carried them. Praise God. Now, we got to, I think someone asked a question and we're answering it, and we read a portion of the Bible. You know, I don't know whether I should even say it here. Amen. Praise God. We read a portion of the Bible. Let me just say it in paraphrase. When you get back home, you can go and, you know, where, you know, those who make denominational laws, there may be 5 laws.
They can remove two or three and leave the rest and say these two or three is what God is saying. What about the rest? Here the Bible was talking about the adorning of a woman. Praise God. Where the Bible talks about the adorning of a woman, that let it not be what? Let it not be the outward appearance of plaiting the hair, wearing of apparel, and what? Okay. We have 3 points there. He said, let it not be that of plaiting of hair, or wearing of apparel, or expensive jewel. And some people, they take the two and they leave the number one, which is plaiting of hair. If you want to go by that Bible verse, which some people go through, then which means a woman that plaits her hair is going to hell. Is someone listening to me? So let it not be the outward appearance of plaiting the hair. We must learn to interpret the Bible in context, not out of context. And I told them that the law is good when a king is still a baby, is still under tutors. Do you agree with me? And that tutor can be an housemaid. That tutor can be a servant. That tutor can be whoever. But he's still a king. Amen. So, why do you need a king? Why do such need a king? To train. And when such becomes king, will he still be? Now, an housemaid can beat a baby, and the baby is the master of the house. Do you agree with me? An housemaid can spank a baby. Come on. The baby can cry in the house of an housemaid. Wah, shut up. And that baby is the master. Give the baby some few years. When he yells, that housemaid must tremble. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when we come together, there are babies here. We can say yes in our church. We don't want anybody to be wearing red hat and no black dress. Sister Temi, no black dress. And Brother Dennis. Thank God. I have to look at myself so that I'm not guilty too. Okay, no black dress. Why? There must be a reason. And most denominational laws have good reasons. Good reasons. Why? Because science tells us that black dress, black color, do what? It absorbs heat. So that when you put it on and you stay in the sun, you begin to sweat too much. And aside from that, the penetration of the heat goes into your skin. And it can form an abscess, which the doctors can call ogulokulokulosis. Now, this ogulokulosis is the factor responsible for some factoria, you know. So we accept. We accept. Amen. But other than that, Sister Teddy is not staying in the sun. The house is fully AC. The car is fully AC. The office is fully AC. So when you're talking about the black dress as regarding the sun, it's not, I mean. So we now see her comes, Sister. Brother, we have to pray that the idol of disobedience in our heart this morning is what? Is defeated in the name of Jesus. Pray! And we know who we are directing the prayer to. Amen. What am I saying? How many people know baby walker? You know baby walker? Come on. I want to know. Ungi. I can't baby walker. Come on. I shake your little tires, right? You can't fall down. Now, that is an ingenious idea to help guide the baby to do what? To walk. Age 1, age 2, age 3, age 4, age 5, age 6, age 7. Huh? Is it okay? Age 8? No, come on, age 9. If you see a baby with baby walker, if you see a boy, what happens? No. Let's be objective. If you see a boy of 9 years old who uses baby walker, what happens? There is a problem. But it was necessary for the baby at age zero to age 1.5 or age 2 or thereabout, depending. Some of us we did not walk on time. Even though we begin to have our own children and we are in a hurry, if they don't walk in time, we try to push them. When was the first time you saw your baby trying to walk? What came to your mind? The same baby after some time. Don't go there. Don't go there. Were you not the one that was clapping for him? When he was walking, you were clapping. Now he's walking. You don't want him to move. If you go there again, I will spank you. Rielanko. If the baby refused to walk in time, you will come to the prayer warriors. Pastor, Junior man, he's not walking. And when the baby is walking, don't go there. I will beat you. I can kill you. Hey. Amen. You know, as parents, we tell our children, sometimes I watch film, and you see the parent trying to tell their parent, trying to tell their children who just got wedded. It has been 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. Eh? What is happening now? Is it that it is you or it is him? What's the problem? But mommy, you told me that I must run away from men. Say, You said, don't allow any man to touch you. And that is what I have, even though I have been married for 3 years, I am keeping to you. What is that telling us? There is time for everything. There is time to shout. Don't do it. There is time to say, if he's not coming, you too try to, you know the nightwares and food, do something. There is time. When the baby that is not supposed to be using baby walker at 9 is using baby walker, there is something. That's a problem. But baby walker is good, is it not? It's good to guide. But we have some wonderful children. They don't need baby walker. Mommy Tishé, did you buy baby walker for her? Oh, Jerry, I trust her. She's looking at me. She knows I'm talking about her. She doesn't need baby walker. And if we go and ask her grandparents about the father or the mother, they'll say, Olorun la be ko to rin. Praise God. The laws are good. Amen. They are wonderful. They are wonderful. Don't do this. But guess what? They must not be elevated more than the level of guide. They must not be elevated more than that level. They must not be elevated. They must not be equated with the level of thus saith the Lord. I have seen so many denominations who have elevated their denominational laws as thus saith the Lord. Am I talking sense to somebody? If you agree with me, say amen. So you don't agree. Let me say it again. I said there are some denominations that have elevated their denominational laws. The other time we were talking, I don't even know, maybe some of you know, that there are some denominations that you don't wear jeans. How many people know that? You don't wear jeans. If you wear jeans, you have sinned. You are going to hellfire. Is that relevant? And nobody wears jeans there. And there's no problem with that. We can also say that here. Maybe for one reason or the other, we can say that. For one reason or the other. But what I'm saying is that it must not be elevated to the level of thus saith the Lord. And that's the problem I have with a lot of people, you see. If people come to me, do you know, I run, maybe I've been running away from you for some time. This is maybe the reason why. If you come to me every time and say that, Oluwa palashe, Oluwa wipe. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day I told somebody, I said, go and tell that God that is mad and crazy. Isn't that too harsh? God told you. Which God? Oluwa palashe. Oluwa wipe. I've been putting on and putting. I'm a very quiet person. Whatever you tell me, I'll just say, okay, it's you. One day I became mad in my spirit. I said, go and tell that stupid God that I, Bola Olujordan, say that he's mad, he's crazy. I said it. Go and tell that God. He looked at me. Yeah. And he ran away from me. Amen. We judge everything by the word of God. The Bible says that heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God will not pass. Amen. The word of God will not pass. God said, he said, Jeremiah said, God, he has lifted his words above his name. They are good, but they should not. Now, if such laws and creeds controls a particular church, then it is easy to know what type of church that place is. That church is a what? No, you don't get it. Let me come again. If creeds and laws don't do this, they are good. I'm not saying they are not. They are wonderful. They are wonderful. Is a baby walker wrong? No, it's not wrong. But when does it become wrong? Yes. But when you go to a house and you see a particular baby with walker 7 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, still in the same walker, what do you think may be responsible for that? I want somebody to tell. I want to give you 10 seconds to think, and I want somebody to raise up his hand and say, I want to say what may be responsible for that. What may be going on in that house? A baby. For 10 years running, the baby is in the walker. 10 seconds. Who can tell us what you think may be wrong? No. It's not a parent. The baby refused to grow. There is something they call arrested development. You know, it was the disease that happened to Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson had arrested development. Although he died at what? 50 what? 50 or what? Whatever. But the man claimed that he was still a baby. Do you know what? He did not have a baby. He did not have a childhood. Do you know that Michael Jackson did not have a childhood? He did not go to school like other people were, because he became a star when he was a child. So he could not go to regular school. The teacher was teaching him at home. He did not know how to climb tree, how to jump on Jangrofa, how to run and fall. He did not know how to be beaten by the teacher. He did not know how to run a friend. He did not know how to buy fine ice and cut it into two. He did not know how to buy masa. You know masa? And look what the guy missed. He did not buy masa. No, Lekute. No, Google. Oh, he missed all those ones. I know. How How many people have taken a jadidi and pokrof before?
Oh my God.
I come in here. Praise God. I bet with you, you will ask for more. The sinners did not harass him. Hey, you boy. You don't do this of seniority. Hey, you boy. Nothing like that. He did not wear school uniform. He did not run. He did not forget his water bottle. He had nothing. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? You know, when we look at physical things, we can use it to relate it to spiritual things. And you will understand it. Listen and listen close. When the guy grew up, the baby in him began to yearn for the childhood that he missed. Do you understand? The baby in him began to yearn for the childhood that he missed. And that was why his only friends were children. And that was the cause of the guy's problem. He wanted to do jangrofa with them. He wanted to play hard and do everything, but he was old. Physically, but that was what he was yearning for. One day I was watching this thing. They used to call him Wako Jacko. Do you know the meaning of Jacko? When they call somebody, they say somebody is a jack. It's an American term. And they say, oh, that guy is a jack. My God. He said, jack means that he's insane. Do you know what? He began to weep. He said, please stop calling me Wako Jacko. Please. Stop. And he began to cry. The baby in him. He began to cry. Stop calling me Wako Jacko. What do you call me, Jack? He began to cry. Now, I'm saying there is an arrested development. His development was arrested. There are so many people that their psychology had been arrested. Some people, their physiology had been arrested. Some people, their emotion had been arrested. Some people, do you know these tiny guys that used to act this Igbo film? What do they call this? One popo or something like that. Look at those boys. Those guys, they are adults. You know they are adults. They are adults. The day I saw one face to face, I said, so this guy is really, you know, until you get, that's crazy, he said, this is too. And I was looking at him, as short as I am. I feel as if I am a giant. We're just looking at him like this. Who is this thing? Arrested development. Now, the guys may be physically arrested, but they are not mentally arrested. They are not emotionally arrested. But we are talking about people who are physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, religiously arrested. By who? By their parents. I watch the film sometimes. Maybe the man in the golden mask or something like that. The man in the iron mask. The man behind the iron mask. Twins. And the two of them were princes. So one of them had to become the king. Somehow. So one of them, they look alike. They put him in iron mask for the rest of his life. So that nobody knew his identity. But one day, when they removed that iron mask, they discovered that. And the other guy, the twin brother, already was a king. And he knew that his brother was in the prison and he must not see the light of the day. People must not see him. Because that one was the rightful successor to that throne. So he did everything to make sure the guy remained in prison for the rest of his life. But some people got to know. Oh, so it is the other guy that is supposed to be the king. So some generals in that army, they put themselves together.
They call them the musketeers. They put themselves together and they fought. They removed the iron mask. Listen, are you listening to me? They removed the iron mask in that guy and they brought him out. But guess what? He was too long in the prison. He did not know how to behave like a human being, let alone the king. And that is what happens when you are too long in denominational laws and creeds. When you get freedom, it means nothing to you. You don't know what true freedom is. Your life, because your life, you have lived the life. Do you know there's something they call the formative years? That's why we're doing this discipleship. Hello? The formative years of a child is age between 3 and I really don't know. Maybe the child psychologists and stuff may know that. The formative years. Once they miss the formative years, it's gone. The same formative years apply in the spirit. When you become born again and you give your life to Christ, are you listening to me? There is a formative year that within that year, all the memory verses of the Bible you want to commit into memory, if you miss it at that time, go and spend 10 hours every day memorizing the scriptures into your head. It won't stay. You have passed your formative years. If you see me quoting the scriptures, every scripture I know today were the ones that I memorized when I became born again. Nothing is going in right now. Maybe I'm talking to somebody. If you miss your formative years, and guess what? Discipleship is the formative years, and it took Jesus 3.5 years to form the disciples into his image. Paul also spent 3.5 years in Arabia learning discipleship. Discipleship is not something that you catch up with every Sunday on the pulpit. No. You don't get discipleship on the pulpit. You don't get discipleship 1 hour a day. No, that's not discipleship. Praise God. I said praise God. Hallelujah. When a baby that has been in a walker all his life, hello, is the walker is suddenly removed from him, what do you think will happen to that baby? What happens to that baby? The baby that is using walker to walk, and he just removed the walker, what do you think will happen to that baby? Huh? It will fall down. Because you first, he's been used to what? To support. He's been used to supporting himself. You have been used to, when I'm going to church, I don't use this. When I'm going to church, this is how to look. When I'm going to church, this is how to dress. When I'm going to church, this is the language. You know, some people, they pick up a language on Sundays and they drop it in the night on Sunday. Monday morning, they pick up another language. Because they can do, you can wear anything to anywhere, but when you're going to church, you have to know what to wear. Discipleship is only one spirit. It's not a spirit you change every night. It's not a spirit for different occasion. Discipleship is one spirit. Who you are at home is who you are at work. Amen. So we have denominational laws that have put shackles that are surrounding us because we have arrested development. We are no longer growing. So when you see a church, when you see a movement or a denomination that are yoked together by denominational laws, you are seeing a church that all of them are babies. And guess what? The parents like it so. You know, some parents don't like their children to grow. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Some pastors don't like their church members to grow. People are better led in ignorance.
People are better led in ignorance. The moment people begin to know the truth, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and that truth shall break the shackles of that baby walker around you. That was what happened to Martin Luther. He went to the king, he went to the priests of the Church of England. Excuse me, sir, Pope. My Bible tells me that the just shall live by faith. What do you say? You tell me that the just shall live by sacrament and indulgences. The Bible did not tell me so. And the Bible tells me that there is no one that is righteous except God. But your title as the Pope tells me that you are righteous is either God is a liar or you are impostor. The Pope said, call the council of elders. We have a problem. Summarily, they judged Martin Luther. You are hereby condemned to death to be burned by fire until you die. Accepted. They took him to where they were going to burn him. But because God wanted to do something, they have been doing that to so many believers and disciples through the dark ages. But at this time, God squared up. No, it's time for reformation. He moved in the house of the youths. The youths came to the Pope. If you kill that man, consider yourself dead. There was an uproar. Everybody, there was an uproar. Just like we have in North Africa and Middle East. Everybody, no, carrying placards for Martin Luther. That had already been sentenced to death. Somehow, they took Martin Luther away. And the people begin to say, yes, the just shall live by faith. It is not by the decree of the Pope. Before you know it, people followed Martin Luther. He became a voice. And he will stand up and say, my people, the Bible says this. They will say, yay! The church was divided. They knew the truth. The day you know the truth, you'll be free from the shackles that your whether spiritual parent or physical parent or religious parent or whatever parent, the shackles that they have boxed you in, you break away from it. What do you think has been sustaining Islam? Ignorance. Meet any sheikh or any Quran scholar. They will tell you who Jesus is. But guess what? Because do you know that they thank God for the Bible? If the Quran is as common as the Bible is common, there will be a revolution. They are regulating it. They want the people that come to mosque to believe what the sheikh tells them. But do you know a true disciple? One of the hallmark of a true disciple is that he searches for the truth. It is only the truth that sets free. If you are bound, go for the truth. It is the truth that sets free. So, as a disciple, you have access to know the truth. But guess what? Many people don't care for the truth. Just allow the pastor to say whatever is good. Facts. There's a difference between facts and truth. What most of us teach in the church on Sunday, that we are just giving us facts. It's not the truth. Disciples go for the truth. If you are never discipled, I'm not talking about sitting down on church every Sunday for 2-3 hours or coming to the Bible study on Sunday or on Wednesday during the week. That is not discipleship. I told you I had pastored a church for 6-7 years. I thought, if someone has The first day somebody asked me, I laughed.
I said, this man needs to know my pedigree.
He needs to know my religious pedigree and my spiritual status for him to ask me such a such a question. Disciples, they ask some people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What was the answer?
Say, Holy Ghost?
He said, we don't know whether there is an Holy Ghost. Who is he? We don't know whether there is an Holy Ghost somewhere. Just like somebody said, that, do you have Jesus? And he said, I swear, I didn't steal him. Maybe it's that person that stole him. I didn't steal Jesus because he never heard about Jesus. You want to say, do you have Jesus? I don't have Jesus. Oh, I'm not the one that took him. I'm the one that took it. I don't know. Do you have Jesus in your life? Jesus? Is he a disease? No, I don't have Jesus. Jesus? What does he look like? Is it like a ball? Hey, did you steal Jesus? No, he's a human. Jesus, who is he? Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to stop here. I've just given us an introduction to let us know that we need. Do you know what I want to advise you? Please don't miss the discipleship class. That does not mean that after you have passed through discipleship class, you have become this disciple. He's just making you to know that you need to become a disciple. I told you the last time that salvation is a step. And discipleship is a what? It's a walk. Are you walking? Oh, you have taken the step. I congratulate you. Thank God for your life. You have taken the step. You have passed from death unto life. But are you walking? Is there a walk? Are you walking? No, you have to walk. Colossians tells us, now that ye have believed Christ, walk ye in him. Rooted. So discipleship is a walk, and it is not that you learn how to. Hello? You are not going to learn how to walk with Jesus. No. But how to what? You are not going to learn how to walk with Jesus. You are going to learn how to be like Jesus. So we want to know, how do we be like Jesus? We want to be like Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus in my life. I want to be like Jesus in my life. In my heart, in my heart, I want to be like Jesus in my heart.
If you want to be like Jesus, I want you to close your eyes. Your desire is to be like him, to talk like him, to walk like him.
You want to be like Jesus.
Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to be like you.
There are restraining forces. There are powers. There are shackles. There are baby walkers. There are barricades. There have to be broken and scattered and shattered and battered into pieces. You have built denominational laws and barriers from where you're coming from. I wish the Lord would touch your heart this morning, brothers and sisters. And sincerely, you are going to sing that song. Please, I want somebody who knows that song to come up here.
Of the choir.
I want